Wonderful. Well, you're excited for 2016? Come on, you've got to convince me now. Are you excited? Yes. Are you into it? Yes. My goodness, we've still got a lot of people on holiday, haven't we? So I'm looking forward to getting everybody back. And the summer's been good, the weather's been great, life has been good. But praise God, we're back and we're in the groove. Is everybody back at work? Anybody eating too much? How's your New Year's resolutions going already? 6 weeks down the track, have you lost that weight? Have you got yourself to bed on time? Oh, wonderful. One of the dangers, I mean, I love holidays. I love the summer break. I really do. I can really hang out in terms of relaxing and just enjoying the Kiwi summer. I love it. But one of the dangers that I have and face, and I'm just going to open my heart up, one of the dangers I have every year is to really neglect the spirit life. It's an amazing thing. I find that the decrease of routine, the absence of routine and the increase of opportunities for leisure and entertainment, they just go up and routine and this kind of holiday mindset can create the perfect storm to really miss looking after the spirit man. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When we actually have all this time and this opportunity, and a whole lot of my meetings that go on during the year, they stop, and some of us don't come to church, even though we're in the city, you know, we just hide under the duvet. And we have all this time, and yet somehow we become almost overwhelmed with opportunity of events and parties and out at the beach, and they're all good, but it's a real danger I've found in my life. In some years, I've really not done well. Praise God, I've last so many years have learned to protect and preserve, because I used to always rock up to February pretty dry. Can you relate to what I'm saying? And what happens is we become a bit spiritually stale. Our prayer life is at a pretty much an all-time minimum. The word time, well, we mean to get around to it. We're going to try better tomorrow. But what happens is we become vulnerable to temptation. It is my estimation, pastoring this wonderful flock, there are more pastoral issues that come up in January probably than any other month of the year. I wonder why. We're really good at this time of year at taking care of the physical. Every wish and every whim, that extra piece of cake and an extra movie, whatever it wants, it's probably going to get. And while we pile the cake on, we pile on the entertainment, what suffers is the very thing that matters most on the inside. It's a very real danger that I face every year. How about you? I think I'm on pretty safe ground to say that we all struggle at this time of year. True? We have a great holiday, but you know what? The devil never does. When it comes to our spirit life, we really never can go on holiday. He's waiting. I'm persuaded he mounts up an attack when connect groups maybe stop for a season, discipleship goes on hold, we're wandering around doing our thing. I'm persuaded, fully persuaded, that the enemy's very strategic. And there may even be some people here, not today, not because they're on holiday, but because they're struggling. As usual, God always has a solution, doesn't he? Have you noticed that? Whatever the human condition, God has a solution. I like to call it a spiritual reboot. He provides exactly what we need to get us back on track and breathe new spiritual life and passion and take us to a new level. It's a secret weapon in the Bible. It is absolutely right up alongside prayer and Bible reading. It's a secret weapon. It is God's gracious gift to reboot our spirit and our life and our track. And you know what it is? It's called fasting. All through the Bible, Moses, David, Daniel, Elisha, Jesus, apostles, all through the early church, Luther, Knox, Wesley, everybody who's worth anything, they fasted. It was part of their life. I don't like fasting, but I love what it does because it reboots my spirit along with prayer. It is not relegated to the super Christian or to the hyper spiritual. It is for ordinary, valuable, and troubled people like you and me. Fasting is God's reboot. I wonder whether anybody here needs a spiritual reboot. To put it in simple terms, fasting is sacrificing or denying yourself something to go for the better thing. It's not a new concept. You'll understand this, of course. When it comes to wanting to buy your first home, you have to sacrifice something, money, and maybe time to get that third job to go after that home. Or maybe you've got to sacrifice something to do the better thing, which might be finishing your degree or losing weight. I know this very well because I wanted a better thing. And do you know what better thing I wanted? That girl over there. I wanted her. I wanted her. She was the better thing. That sounds too white. She's the better thing. And so we all understand in pursuit of romance and affection and attention, I'm your man. I sacrifice time. Heaven knows, a lot of money. These girls are expensive, man. I know. But they're worth every dime. Time and money, it's not a foreign concept. It's all about saying no, denying ourselves for the short term, denying ourselves for something in order to get the better thing. Biblical fasting is about denying ourselves physical food in order to get spiritual food. Is anybody tracking me? It's that simple. That's called biblical, that's called fasting. If you go to Matthew 17, you'll find a great little story. We're not going to read it. You can track me. You can catch me on the podcast to podcast land. Matthew 17, there's a great story when Jesus and the disciples, there's Peter, James, and John, three of them up the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember. And they come down the mountain, and there's a father there whose son had epilepsy. He would have a fit, and he'd throw himself into the water. He'd have another fit and go into the fire. And he comes and he drops onto his knees and he says, Jesus, disciples, he looks at all four of them. He says, can you please deliver my son? The disciples had a go and they prayed. But he did not get delivered. And Jesus actually rebuked them. If you look at the scripture, O ye of little faith. If you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could move mountains. And he prayed for the boy and the spirit left him. I want you to pick it up, Matthew 17. I will, in fact, read just two verses there. And I want you to catch it, Matthew 17. That's Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament. If you're there, say, booyah. Fantastic. And Jesus said to them after, that's right, verse 19, let's go back. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast that demon out? Verse 20, Jesus said to them, because you of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as grand as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, mountain, be moved, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Verse 21, however, this kind does not come out except for prayer and, what does your scripture say? Fasting, as Ian might say. This does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Two lessons Jesus is teaching us today from that passage. Number one, some things in your life will not be broken without fasting. Some things in your life, I'll repeat it, will not be broken without fasting. Maybe it's a continual cycle of financial lack. Maybe it's a continual cycle of health. Maybe it's a loved one giving their life to Christ. Maybe it's some kind of breakthrough. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that you're battling and facing will not be broken by just another worship service or just another little discipleship meeting. It takes you and I to be desperate enough for destiny, desperate enough for breakthrough, desperate enough to say, I'm going to go without to go for the better thing. Some things will not be broken without fasting. But number two, and I love this, fasting is supposed to be part of our lifestyle. I want you to catch it in verse 21. Jesus says some of these things will only be broken and dealt with and delivered with fasting. He prayed for the boy and he got delivered. That implies, that tells me he has been fasting. You follow the logic. So when they came down from the mountain and the father says, would you please heal my son? He didn't have to go, oh, wait a minute. Let me go and read my Bible, listen to Hillsong, listen to a podcast, confess my sin, purify my inner soul, then let me go and deal with this. It was instant. It was lifestyle as we encounter situations. The missing ingredient to most of our spiritual walk is fasting and the power that it unpacks. It's supposed to be part of our lifestyle. I want you to catch the heart and spirit of this, because it's not just about next week. It's about life. It's about the weeks after that. It has been my pattern and my plan to fast a day a week for quite some time now, just to remind my flesh, you get your way usually 6 days of the week. We're actually very good at looking after our flesh. Is that right? Can everybody hold their right arm up? Hold your arm up, please. This is a good old Pastor Ken one. Everyone touch that flesh, that little thing under there. That's called the flesh. Some of us have more than others, but that's called the flesh. That's right. We all have it. We all face it. Don't you dare think the people on the front row find it easier than you. No way, Jose. We have the same temptations as you and the same choices as you. And sometimes I don't always make the right choice, for sure. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. If you need further confirmation or clarification or convincing that fasting should be a part of our lifestyle, turn to Matthew chapter 6, if you will, verse 16. I'm just going to lay down a few things and I'm going to preach at you. How does that sound? Matthew 16, here we go. Matthew 6, 16. So it says, moreover, when you fast... Pause. Note, it does not say if you fast. It says when you fast. Remember, we're not going to go there today, but remember, this is the same teaching, same breath, same moment as when he teaches on the Lord's Prayer. We never say, if I ask you, do you ever pray? You're a Christian, do you pray? What's the answer? Of course I pray. Running parallel to that, do you fast? It says, when I fast, when you fast. Again, not for super Christians, ordinary believers like you and me. And then it goes on to say how we should conduct ourselves and what our motivation would be for fasting. Look at this. When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Surely I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. This is a good idea, guys. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Will reward you openly. It's future tense. Yes, the Lord expects us, requires us to fast, but there's two really good reasons wrapped up in that those last few words. Two good reasons I want to give you today for fasting. Number one, fasting is required or needed for your personal destiny. Let me repeat that. Fasting is required. Fasting is necessary for you to fulfill and walk into your personal destiny. Can you give me an amen? Do you think you could walk into your personal destiny and fulfill God's call for your life without prayer? No, you could not. Let me ask this question. How many here want 2016 to look different to 2015? Wave your hands. Do you want 2016 to be better and bigger and brighter than 2015? Ladies and gentlemen, something has to change. Definition of insanity is doing the same old thing but expecting a different result. We're real good at blabbing it, grabbing it, claiming it, naming it, but are we going to change? You see, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got. Nothing's going to change. Something has to change in order for you to be positioned and projected into your personal destiny with God. We have to be ruthless with our flesh and our addiction to comfort and ease. We need to look beyond gratification now, right now. You just got to look at people's cell phone habits and you'll find out. There's like 10 seconds and the red light there and I've just got to go and check something. It's like the thumb's got to, it's just got to get on there, man. Some of you might even doing it now. It's delaying the gratification for right now, for something bigger. You see, God's got something bigger beyond on the other side for your life. And it takes something like fasting and prayer coupled together to position your heart to go there. Why don't we determine 2016 is going to be different? Why don't we determine 2016, the flesh is not going to control my life? Why don't we determine one life to give, one life to live, baby. We're going to go all the way. Why live in apathy? Why live in half measures? Why live with a glass half full? Why go just enough to get into heaven? Man, there's a world waiting for you and I. There's a city. There's neighbors. There's families to reach, friend. We need the power of God inside of our lives. And it ain't going to come by sitting still on a pew. And it's not going to come necessarily from an external person trying to motivate. It's going to come from within you, my friend. It's going to come from within you to be hungry for change. You see, destiny requires desperation. Destiny requires desperation. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, holidays are over. We're back at church. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching now. Determine, I want more in 2016. You know, in just a few months, thousands of athletes are going to land in Rio de Janeiro for the Summer Olympics. It's going to be wonderful if you've got Sky. And it's going to be wonderful for them. Thousands, I don't know, guess, at least thousands of hours. 4 years, maybe younger ones have been in training for 8-12 years. I don't know. You listen to some of the backstories by the commentators, it goes beyond 4 years of dedication, of sacrifice, of discipline. What for a yellow thing hanging around their neck? Can you imagine what it would be like if we gave that kind of dedication to our spirit life? We devoured the Word of God. How about we all read the Bible this year from cover to cover? It's only 3 chapters in a bit a day. How about we dwell and dine with God in His presence and prayer? Why don't we commit to serve and joining a connect group and sharing our faith to the person beside us who's going through hell and back? If we just took 10% of the dedication of an athlete, ladies and gentlemen, we would be super saints. I like what it says in 1 Timothy. He says, physical exercise is great, but don't neglect the spirit man. The body will only profit you a little bit, but what about your spirit? All you dudes into CrossFit in the gym, how's your spirit? How's your relationship with Jesus? I hope it's as good as your body. And those that don't go to the gym, don't use that as an excuse to be lazy. Look after the temple of the Holy Spirit. Second reason why I believe we need to pay attention to this, why it's so critical, is not just our personal destiny, but our corporate destiny as a church. This is not just a cyclical thing on our calendar. This is a fast that the elders of this church have called. Our heart, our desire, and indeed our expectations that every member of this church that calls this place church family would participate in some capacity and participate in some way. It is our church fast. We want you, we're desperate for you as individual people to realize your personal destiny. But as a corporate church, ladies and gentlemen, this nation's waiting for churches to be planted. It's waiting for miracles. It's waiting for people to be on fire. It's waiting for people with authentic faith who know, say no to sin, no to compromise, no to apathy, no to lethargy. People like Jesus. Here's my conclusion. Of all that I've said so far, here is the point. That fulfilling your God-ordained destiny begs you to fast. Begs me to fast. Fulfilling your personal destiny, fulfilling our collective destiny requires, begs, it needs us to fast. You see, destinies are under attack. Jesus had exactly the same thing. If you recall in Luke 4, Jesus was just about to begin his ministry, and the Holy Spirit calls him into the wilderness. Do you remember this? You talk about showdown. You talk about MMA. This is Jesus, and it's Satan, man on man. God man. If you recall, he fasted 40 days, and the scriptures, I love how the scriptures state the obvious, and it says, and he was hungry. While he was there, he faced three temptations. The first temptation was food. It was bread. You see, he faced, just like you and I face, the big three, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All three confronted Jesus. All three was led by the enemy to destroy Jesus' destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, he did exactly the same thing with Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Guess what destroyed her destiny? Food. Flesh. She couldn't delay the gratification. She had to have it now. She failed. Her destiny was destroyed. Jesus was victorious. His destiny remained. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy hated Eve's destiny, Jesus' destiny. Can I tell you today, the devil is attacking your destiny. The devil is attacking your destiny. And he's just relying on the fact that you and I are going to be happy with just going, just sailing through life. And you and I are just happy to go through a little bit here and there because we're saved by grace. That's right. And use and hide behind that as an excuse to be lazy when the world waits for giants to stand up. David's, Elijah's, Esther's, Rahab's, men and women who are hungry for God. Not the next meal. You see, they faced a battle that we all face. The flesh and the spirit. And the devil is so busy trying to fulfill our desires. If we can be bought by just something online, some image, if we can if we can be distracted, if we can be tripped up, if we can be delayed, if we can be destroyed, if we can be distracted, if we can just check out on God, the devil will try. The flesh makes a horrible master, but a good slave. Jesus faced the same battle as you and me. But Jesus was victorious. Why? Because he said no to the flesh. Can you say no to the flesh? You know the flesh speaks, right? Just have another little piece. Just another, you'll be okay, just another 10 minutes in bed. It's okay, we're not under legalism. Oh, you know, it's okay, we're saved by grace. Just a bit more, a little bit further. Just another beer. We'll be okay. How much is too much? We don't really know. Flesh. Carnality. None of us can escape it. We all live with it. Ladies and gentlemen, it just comes down to what you really want. It comes down to saying, God, help me in my hour of need. Help me, dear God. Fill me with your power. I can't do this on my own strength. I don't want to continue to live out of sheer willpower. I want to have some force, a power, a tidal wave, a tsunami on the inside where I can say no. You'll get that through fasting. You will get that through fasting. I want you to go to Luke 4 if you can. I just want to kind of finish with this point here in Luke chapter 4. Back to that story. I want you to see something so powerful in that account, because Jesus overcame the enemy, as you well know. And look at this. If you look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Everyone got that? Led by the Spirit. If you look in verse 14, what does it say there? Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. What happened between verse 1 and 14? How come he went from being led by the Spirit to being full of power? This is the Son of God. He's God and he's man. He faced the same temptation as you and I. He needed to fast. He was being attacked by the enemy. How was he going to overcome the enemy? What happened between 1 and 14? Do you know what happened, ladies and gentlemen? Fasting. Fasting brought the power for him to say no to the enemy. It was fasting that purified his heart. It was fasting that filled him. Got off the computer, got off the games, got off everything else that sucks up our life. And you all know there's things in all of our hearts that can become gods and idolatrous and just steal all our time. Most of them are not wrong in themselves, but when they become our idol, they become our focus, they become our God, they become our comfort, they become our entertainment, and everything is just there. Life is wrapped around that thing. It's time to repent and confess and say, Jesus, you need to be Lord of my life. Jesus, I'm going to turn this thing off. I'm going to walk away because I want my destiny to be fulfilled. I want God's best for my life. I'm tired of living in compromise. I wonder if that would be your thought today. There's a bigger picture, a brighter future waiting for you and I on the other side. Will you join me in fasting next week? Will you, of your own volition, in your own heart, do you want more of God? It was said best this way: for God to increase, I must decrease. And I personally know of no other way of rebooting my spirit, decreasing myself, than saying no to the flesh and fasting. You can choose whatever you want to do. It's saying no to something, to say yes to the better thing.